Welcome to the Scottish Housing News podcast on people, with me, Jimmy Black, and Kieran Finlay, the editor of the Scottish Housing News. Now, we're visiting Caledonia Housing Association today in their grand headquarters in Broughty Ferry, and we're going to be speaking to the director of people, who is Barry Johnson. Barry has ideas about the way that people work within Caledonia. He's interested in agile methods of working, and it's a big cultural change for the organisation. So we want to talk about that and find out why they're doing it, what they're doing, what the benefits are, what the difficulties of making this happen are. And so we're going to start by saying, Barry, welcome to the Scottish Housing News podcast. What's it like working in this great big grand building?
It is a building that, in the current environment, Jimmy, if I'm being honest, presents us with some challenges as we adopt new working practices, and we've learned as we move into agile working, and we launched our Agile for Everyone strategy earlier in the year, that the new working practices require a different type of office estate.
Okay, let's just for the listeners, let's tell them about the building. It's got a huge boardroom that we're sitting in now. We're actually sitting in the bit where the snooker table used to be. It's got a tower. It has extensive grounds. It's got an orangery, or a conservatory, if you like, and it's got some beautiful wood panelling. Are there any... Actually, the bathrooms are great. The bathrooms are great. They've got enormous towel rails made of beautiful materials, and I think you could probably still have a bath here if you really wanted to. I'm not sure they were ever ripped out. It's a wonderful building. What are the difficulties of having a building like this?
Well, first I'll clarify, I've never had a bath, so I can't comment on that, Jimmy. But it's a fantastic, beautiful building, as you've expressed. But with these type of Victorian properties, it's great expense to maintain them. And as a social landlord with a strong social purpose, we want to make sure that we've got our overheads managed as efficiently as possible to reinvest back into service delivery and improvement.
Okay, Kieran, let's talk about the whole management change which is happening at Caledonia.
Of course, yes. Yeah, since COVID, everybody's had to change or look at changing the ways that they work. And in a blog published in Scottish Housing News last March, which was exactly 1 year after the first lockdown, you detailed many of the changes incorporated by Caledonia 1 year after the first lockdown. But I'm going to put you on the spot here. In it, you began with a quote by the author and inspirational speaker, Simon Sinek. Can you remember the quote?
It was, and I'm paraphrasing because I can't recall it literally, but I think it was, you know, how small teams can have a significant impact.
I'll give you that. A small team committed to a cause bigger than themselves can achieve absolutely anything. There, one point to you. Why did you choose this quote in particular, especially at that time?
Well, at that time, that quote was to reflect the fact that, you know, my team, I'm proud to say, were just awarded the title of HR Team of the Year, to reflect, you know, how we supported our colleagues continue to make a difference for our tenants in an exceptionally challenging period. And like many HR people teams, it is a small resource, and it just reflected, you know, having, you know, a strong, integrated, coherent team with a diversity of skills and experience, you can, you know, have a massive difference on your colleagues and the services that we provide to our tenants.
Do you have other people or ideas that you've taken inspiration from and brought into your professional life?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, key what underpins the Caledonia culture is, you know, growth mindset that's been influenced in particular by Carol Dweck. That had a profound impact on myself personally, the importance of never stop learning, you know, celebrating the success of others, using mistakes as an opportunity to be better. And it was a model that we felt was right in terms of the behaviours within Caledonia that would ensure that we had a successful, sustainable future. So what has, you know, underpinned our guiding principles and behaviours is that growth mindset. So to cascade that throughout the organisation, we have held, you know, specific, you know, classes with directors, managers, all our team leaders. We've had all staff within the organisation attend sessions on growth mindset. We've had conferences where speakers have came in and discussed growth mindset. And what was particularly, you know, relevant and what resonated with ourselves is growth mindset, you know, it fits our wellbeing aims, that it can help, you know, you be your best self, not just at work, but at home. So I think, Kieran, you know, that's a good illustration of how we've used outside influences to create a better working environment that meets, obviously, the needs of our staff. But by doing that, we can add additional value to our customers.
Take us back then to last March and describe the situation for, or even March 2020. Describe the situation for your team at that time. How many staff were in your team and who do they support and what kind of roles do they, the people who they support carry out?
Well, we've got approximately 200 colleagues working in a wide range of roles across 8 local authority areas, from, you know, people in Inverness through Tayside to West, East, Dunbartonshire. So in March 2020, like all organisations, we were in an unprecedented situation. Although agile working had always been part of our business plan, we were at the early stages of that development. So very quickly, we had to move quickly to enforced.
So the agile working was already a
absolutely theory. Clear. Our agile working journey commenced 2019, you know, a year, 18 months before the advent of COVID. And why that was, we just felt, you know, empowering staff to have greater flexibility as to where, when, and how they work could enhance the customer experience. We wanted as a business to focus more on delivering personalised services, more quicker, responsive, localised services. And we felt agile working was a great way to enable that to happen.
Let's talk a bit more about what agile working is. I mean, as I understand it, it's something that began in the software world. And there's a thing called the Agile Manifesto. Individuals and interactions over processes and tools, customer collaboration over contract negotiation, responding to change over following a plan. Does that all sound like the thing that underpins your new way of thinking about how to organise work?
For me, Jimmy, as you indicated, agile is a very broad, for some people, can be an abstract concept. What I would say in terms of Caledonia's interpretation of agile working, firstly, it's not a model that's been pulled off the shelf. You know, we took a view, we will learn from others, but we'll run our own race. So we have listened closely to staff and customers as to, you know, what their expectations and needs are. So for us, our Agile for Everyone strategy, it's about principles that provide far greater flexibility as to where, when, and how you work, but within an overarching framework that makes sure that we deliver key principles. And the number one principle has to be delivering added value for a customer. So agile working has to make sure that we're making a difference for our customers and the communities in which they reside.
Who are your customers? Is that the government who gives you money to build houses, or is it the local authority, or is it the tenants?
Tenants. You know, we have, you know, we own and manage, you know, in excess of 7,000 homes, over 5,000 tenants, and we factor over 2,000 factored properties, but they are our number one priority.
Even before COVID, you knew that agile working was being introduced at Caledonia. In your blog again, a year after COVID hit, you knew that Caledonia would not go back to the old way of working. What is exactly is the Agile for Everyone model? When was it introduced?
Agile for Everyone was launched earlier this calendar year, Kieran. But it had a long development phase. As you articulated there, very early into the COVID period, we made clear to staff that once we had re-emerged from the pandemic, we wouldn't just turn the tap off and revert back to old working practices. We wanted to move to a new agile way of working. We wanted to learn from the COVID experience what had worked well with remote working and what hadn't went as well as what we would have liked. So the Agile for Everyone framework that we launched early this year sets out key design principles that determine this is what agile working should achieve. This is how we'll measure it's made a difference. And that's about enhancing the employee experience to deliver customer value. It's about strengthening employee engagement. It's about reducing our carbon emissions. It's about reducing business overhead so we can deliver value for money and provide affordable rents and continue to invest in existing homes and build new homes. So it's not prescriptive, it's overarching principles. And key to the success of it is investing and empowering and trusting our managers to make the right decisions. So each team throughout Caledonia has their own agile charter that reflects what working practices that team has to have in place to meet not just the needs of those team members, but fundamentally customers, but also the needs of colleagues within Caledonia. So those agile team charters that can be different depending on the respective team within the organisation ensure that everyone is working towards realising those overarching Agile for Everyone principles. And we know it's a new concept, it's a new way of working, so we're continuing to learn, adapt, iterate, reinforce what's working well, but pausing and pivoting if something needs to change.
Let's get to the practical, what it means in practice, so for staff and for customers. You split the staff up into three groups, I think. Can you tell us about how those groups were identified?
As part of the development of our Agile for Everyone framework, as I mentioned previously, it involved significant consultation, importantly, listening to staff, understanding job roles, how we could create the best jobs possible that made a positive impact for our tenants. So what we established, when you consider the diversity of what Caledonia do, we provide general needs housing, but also retirement homes, very sheltered complex. So we split our workforce into three broad categories: fixed and mobile and hybrid workers. So a fixed worker is my colleagues that work, for instance, in a very sheltered scheme or a retirement complex. They have one physical location. They don't have the same flexibility to work from home as other colleagues. Our mobile workers are my colleagues that work in our communities. It can be cleaning operatives, cleaning, picking up bulk uplift. And then the majority of the Caledonia employees are hybrid workers. 71% of our staff fall into that category. And they're the staff that can, due to the nature of what their work involves, have that blend of working at home, working in an office, or sometimes working out in our communities.
How do you do performance management this way? Because you can't actually just walk into a room and chat to somebody and find out how they're getting on. They're remote, so that connection isn't quite so easy to establish. So how are your managers able to ensure the staff are happy, are working well, and are producing when they can't see them?
It highlights what I mentioned earlier, Jimmy. It's a very valid observation, and why we've invested so much time in developing support and managers to give them the tools to enable them to be an impactful manager of virtual, sometimes remote teams. There's a number of factors involved. Providing greater flexibility as to when people can work presents the risk of stretching the working day. So well-being is front and centred. We invest, you know, significant resources in providing a tailored well-being offer that meets the diversity of our staff group. We have got an engagement survey, and so we've got good metrics that determine well-being that's segmented by team. Our agile way of working requires managers to have their own charter that determines what the working practices of their team should be. And there's an element of being in the office for that. So we don't have people that are just working at home full time. Every role will have an element of being in the office. So it's a real issue. Well-being, you know, mental health in terms of the working practices that we're all having to adapt to. But, you know, fundamentally for us, you know, by investing in managers, you know, ensuring there's good well-being support, that's key to ensuring our staff can continue to thrive.
And tell me, from a customer's point of view, have you made investments or changed technical systems to ensure that people outside don't actually know that things have changed?
No, because our change was influenced by tenant consultation. We wouldn't have arbitrarily introduced agile working without ensuring the change made a difference to our tenants. So as part of the journey, yes, detailed staff consultation and listen, but also a lot of customer research and consultation to determine what type of service met their new and emerging needs. You know, a tenant phones in with a service request. We have a customer solutions team that deals with all incoming phone calls, and that team are supported, enabled to, as far as possible, provide the solution at the point of contact. And what we've done to enable that team to be working agile in a hybrid manner is investment in IT. That has been a key enabler. We need the infrastructure to enable us to work flexibly. So to use that example, pre-COVID, we would have a team that were all based in an office dealing with those incoming calls. Due to, you know, staff development, providing them with the tools to do their job effectively, particularly establishing the right IT infrastructure, that same seamless service can now be delivered from any environment.
I'm interested in the tenant consultation. I would imagine that most, if not all, would value the same things they did beforehand, a safe and warm home, good quality services, and that good initial point of contact that you've just described there. Was there anything in the consultation that threw up something you weren't expecting?
I would say, Kieran, you're right. The consultation reinforced the fundamentals that we knew. Keep rents affordable, invest in modernising and improving existing stock, continuing to build new homes to, you know, meet the needs of the wider neighbourhoods in which our tenants resided. If there was a particular statistic that surprised me when we carried out comprehensive research during COVID, was the fact that only 3% of our tenants said their preferred method of contact was face-to-face contact in an office. Only 3%. And that would be influenced by a couple of factors. One, as I mentioned at the outset, Caledonia is a large dispersed organisation. So we're not, for instance, like a community-based landlord where the main method of access and service provision would be walking across the road to your office. And it reflects you have to run your own race with the development of agile working, because for what works with Caledonia doesn't necessarily mean it'll work for an organisation in Glasgow. But I also think that statistic of 3% of tenants preferring face-to-face contact at office was a consequence of COVID and people's behaviours changing and becoming more accustomed to engaging not just via telephone, but we've invested significant resources in creating our own self-service portal so tenants can get access to information and support 24/7.
That brings me on to the next thing I'm interested in, and it's this move from large offices to these smaller destination sites. We're currently, as Jimmy described very well, Bath's included, we're currently in the Dundee head office, and this, as it stands, remains in place. Has this policy been introduced yet? And if so, where?
And what is a destination office?
Yes, we've started, you know, implementing the outcomes from a strategic review of our office estate that was aligned to our Agile for Everyone model. As I mentioned previously, we've recognised that new working practices require a different office estate. What we did during COVID is reviewed not just working practices, but utilisation of our offices. And we concluded, even before COVID and the move to home working, which evolved into agile working, only 75% of our offices were occupied. So if you think 71% of our staff can work hybrid, and that's the case within Agile for Everyone, there's going to be even less utilisation of our offices. We've got a large office estate. You know, we calculated we spend about $7.5 million in a 30-year cycle just maintaining that office estate. We have, you know, significant aspirations to comprehensively reduce our carbon emissions. We evaluated the commuting time for every staff member, and we realised in terms of productivity and well-being, we were losing 800 working days a year through commuting. Think of what that means in terms of carbon emissions. So we carried out that analysis, but also we realised, you know, there's many benefits with hybrid working in terms of staff well-being, staff productivity, engagement, recruitment, retention, but we also realised physical office spaces still were part of our future. People need people. That physical proximity is so important for collaboration, communication, just building those relationships. So we have begun the process of redesigning our office estate. And the first example is in Perth, where we moved from a large office that was not ideal in terms of facilitating the collaboration we want to see, to a smaller office site that was specifically designed to deliver principles that we call places for me and places for we. So if you wanted quiet space, there was option. If you needed to go in and have, you know, a meeting with your team, there was option. If you just wanted to go in to catch up with colleagues, there was informal breakout space. So that was launched at the start of the summer. We moved into that office, and the feedback from staff has been, you know, exceptionally positive. Because for ourselves, you know, the success of agile working for those hybrid workers, we want to optimise the home environment, but we also want to optimise, you know, the office environment. We still want to ensure that, you know, there's a reason to go into the office, and when you go into the office, it's a really engaging experience.
One of the things, though, that I certainly found difficult at my employment at the time that COVID happened was that the new people who were coming in, because we were recruiting all the time, the new people who were coming in weren't meeting the old people because everyone was working from home. So you had some folk who were with the organisation and had been for quite a long time, this is my former employer, who were getting on fine. But there were the new people who were floundering a bit and not feeling really part of the team. So with agile working, with hybrid working, with not being in the office all the time, how do you ensure that people coming into the organisation can be mentored and supported?
Yeah, That's a great point, Jimmy. I think we all experienced that. It was extraordinarily difficult for new starts to be onboarded remotely. It's so important to be in the same physical place to build those connections, to get that understanding of culture and, you know, how we do things at Caledonia. What exists within our Agile for Everyone framework is that, as I mentioned, offices still have an important part of our future. And we're very intentional as to what is best done in an office. And part of that is onboarding. It's very important when we have new starts that the manager realises as part of that induction programme, there has to be a lot of time spent in the office to build those relationships, to establish those connections, to help that integration so they can hit the ground running. And I think even through the COVID period, and now as we've moved into Agile for Everyone, that's a challenge, but we're doing it as well as we could reasonably expect, because we do have the data that highlights our new starts, when they join, they're staying with us. So that's important to measure and verify the practices we're putting in place are having a positive impact.
On the other hand, are these Agile working practices not beneficial to attracting more and better staff?
Absolutely, Cian. Now, from my perspective, Agile working is not a perk, it's a given. We're a high-performing organisation with a very strong reputation with stakeholders, but like any organisation in this present environment, we've got to work hard to attract the right staff. And for us, Agile working is absolutely integral to making sure that we retain but also attract the staff that will enable us to deliver our purpose. And it's as well as providing that flexibility that staff value in terms of well-being, work-life balance, you know, minimising unnecessary commutes. It goes back to why offices still have a place, but different type of offices, because we want these offices to be destination sites. So when you go into one of our offices, it's a really rewarding, valuable experience. So in short, yeah, Agile for Everyone is absolutely crucial to our recruitment approach.
So we've talked about why you've introduced these changes, understanding what would evolve in the implementation of them. But I would imagine also it's an ongoing process, that these things aren't set in stone. Are there any lessons learned so far, and what's in the pipeline for the future?
Absolutely. There's always lessons to be learned. You know, what I would say, Cian, we have to keep, you know, focusing on the fact that Agile for Everyone is all about service delivery. It's to ensure we are delivering value for a customer. You know, a challenge as we have adopted it is you can't cater for every eventuality. Our framework is built on principles, not prescription. And it's real important to trust and invest in supporting our managers so they're empowered to make the right decisions. And also in that context, not losing sight, during COVID, we trusted people to do the job. We demonstrated we could innovate and learn fast. And it's not losing sight of that and falling back into old practices. But if there was one fundamental, you know, lesson I've learned, it's just the importance of, you know, quality people managers. Your line manager, irrespective of what role you're in, is absolutely integral to ensuring that you can flourish and thrive at work. They determine, you know, if you stay or leave, they can influence how you advance your career. So central to our Agile for Everyone framework is making sure that we're investing time to create great people managers. It's less important now that you've got, you know, expert technical skills. I don't come from an HR background, but I think what is absolutely vital, you've got those empathetic managers that can support staff so they can flourish in Agile for everyone, be their best, and by doing that, that's when we deliver value for our customers.
So if things were to go wrong, if somebody felt they were being unreasonably treated and that the Agile working that they were getting to do was wrong for them, and the manager wasn't responding, are there mechanisms? Is there a trade union? Are members of the staff trade unionised? Or is there a staff association or some other means of representation that staff can use where they feel safe to argue their case for a change?
Yeah, absolutely. Jimmy, what we have, and we introduced it at the outset of COVID, is Your Voice, a staff consultative group that reflects the diversity of the organisation. And it has, since March 2020, met each month, chaired by myself, and the chief executive attends every meeting. And ostensibly, it's about shaping how Agile for Everyone looks, you know, monitoring the implementation of Agile for Everyone, and ensuring, you know, people like myself are listening and understanding and can empathise what it's like to be in the shoes of colleagues, so we can learn, we can adapt when we get things wrong. And that's part of what I mentioned earlier, that growth mindset culture. If you want to progress, if you want to innovate, you get things wrong. And it's about, you know, having the humility to accept that, listen to your colleagues, and ensuring when we get feedback that can make a difference, we execute that.
That's one of the principles for agile development. It's responding to change over following a plan, mentioned earlier.
Just, you mentioned feedback there. What has been the feedback from tenants and from staff?
The feedback from staff has been very positive. We knew that this is what staff wanted because we had that comprehensive consultation listening exercise. We can see it with our retention figures. Comparatively, it's making a difference. We're seeing impact in terms of, you know, that aim of reducing our office overheads. As I mentioned earlier, we are making a difference by progressing our sustainability agenda. Carbon emissions are reducing. In terms of the impact tenants, you know, it's probably early to measure discernible increases in customer satisfaction. But what we can demonstrate is by moving to this framework, which does involve ensuring we can create better value for money, and we've got, you know, a resilient workforce, we are far better positioned now to meet the challenges of cost of living that we're all going to experience in the next 6-9 months compared to probably where we were a couple of years ago. So it's a difficult period for Caledonia. It's a difficult period for all associations and our staff and tenants. But because what we've introduced in the last couple of years, I'm not complacent, but I'm confident that we as well positioned as we can be to support staff and our tenants get through what's going to be, unfortunately, another extraordinarily challenging period.
Are you going to give your staff a pay rise to cover the cost of running the computer at home and keeping the heating on while they're in working for you?
We've all supported that since the outset of the pandemic, that, you know, people are financially supported to address the costs of working from home. But equally, again, going back to why having offices in the right locations that are well designed so they're an attractive environment to work, it provides that other option for staff that you can go into one of our offices still and work. And it's at the manager's discretion, you know, and liaison with the staff member, you know, when and how you visit that office. But if you are one of my colleagues that wanted to work 5 days in a week in office, you can do that.
Barry, thanks very much for sharing your experiences of this new, innovative, agile way of working at Caledonia Housing Association. That brings us to the end of the Scottish Housing News podcast. So thanks again to you. Thanks to Kieran, my co-host, Kieran Finlay, the editor of the Scottish Housing News. And we'll be back on the air again in 2 weeks' time.